Hi, welcome to Surviving What's Next podcast. This podcast is for women who crave real talk, no filters, and no judgment. If you don't have a place where you can just be you, then this is it. My team and I pride ourselves on being open and honest. This podcast will be packed with cautionary tales and real life stories. We will discuss topics such as life, love, divorce, sex, online dating, kids, mental health, and bad mom stories, just to name a few. Like everyone else, we are trying to survive what's next. Women supporting women. Welcome back to another episode of Surviving What's Next. This is episode 5. Let's talk about the shit that kids do. Our hosts today are Lucy.
Hello.
Wayne, Lucy's husband.
Hello.
Heather.
Hey.
And Jackie.
Hi.
Jackie's one of our newest admins, and this is her first time hanging out with us on the podcast, so we're super excited to have her. On today's episode, we're going to tell some stories about the shit that our kids do. And I mean, if you know me at all, then you know my children have been the reason I became a drinker. And that pretty much happened since Savannah was 18 months old. I mean, I love them, but apparently I did something really bad in a former life, and this is my karma. Just when I thought I had a handle on my children, they found new ways to prove me wrong. Savannah is 13. She wasn't a bad child. She was Dennis the Menace's evil twin sister. Like, she was always looking for a next victim. That, unfortunately, came in the form of her brother, Sawyer, who is 9. She actually almost killed him at least 6 times in his life so far, teaching him to breathe underwater in the bathtub, to, you know, riding a scooter off the trampoline and convincing him that it was magical and it would fly. Yeah, I've had to step in many times. But my favorite story, well, everyone's favorite story, is what I like to call blacklisted. And so we're going to just sit around and just talk about our kids and how they drive us crazy, and maybe we'll get some laughs out of it. So Savannah was 18 months old, and we decided to go to town and go to the mall, do a little shopping, get out of the house. And I swore probably not even a week or two before that I was never taking her out in public again. Like, I would leave her with the dogs and let them babysit her if I had to go to the store. Like, I wasn't taking her anywhere. No more. Period. Yeah, well, you know how that goes. So we were shopping. She was going buck wild in the mall. We lost her. Like, she ran away in JCPenney's. I thought the security guard was going to come and dragging her by her hair. And she was all over the mechanical animals and, you know, lost a bow here and there and a shoe here and there. I mean, it was just your typical nightmare shopping. So we decided to break for lunch. So we went to our little local pizza place, and I was glad that there was hardly anybody there. So we kind of had the run of the place. When we walked in, there was a gentleman sitting in a booth, and then there, further away, there were 2 guys sitting in a booth at the other side of the restaurant. So the server sat us down beside the elderly gentleman. Like, our backs were touching, you know, back to each other. Anyway, so Savannah was sitting with her dad, and she would, you know, back and forth. She wanted to sit with him. She wanted to sit with me. And, you know, that got really old quickly. She's knocking over salt and pepper shakers, and she's bouncing all around and, you know, trying to be cute, you know, but in her defense, with the bows in her hair, you know, you can't see her horns. You couldn't see her horns. So, you know, I guess. So anyway, she notices this guy sitting behind me, And, you know, she's blowing him kisses and talking to him and her toddler, you know, jibber jabber, flashing that winning smile that not many can resist. You know, he smiled back. He was very sweet. He smiled back to her for a second. Then he turned around and went back to eating. You know, I did the same. The waitress came and brought us drinks. I was distracted for like 10 seconds, right? And in that 10 seconds, like, time stood still. I slowly turned toward her. My spidey senses went off, and I could sense a situation of biblical proportions was about to take place, like talking bushes, swarm of locusts, frogs raining from the sky kind of shit, right? So I locked eyes with her just in time to see her rear back and slap the feeling out of the back of this guy's neck. I gasped. I was like, I kept blinking like, this is not real. This is not real. My kid did not just assault this gentleman. Like, this is not real. I thought, I was hoping maybe I, you know, fell and hit my head on the floor. Yeah, but that wasn't the case. The evidence was clear. My fear came true. There was a toddler-sized red handprint on the back of this guy's neck. I mean, I could feel the vomit rise in my throat. I was sweating like an 80s hairband. Like, it was one of those moments when you just want to crawl in a hole and die or get a passport and leave the country. I didn't know what to say. I began apologizing to this guy. Like, I look at Savannah and I had to double take because I swear she had a satisfying evil grin on her face. I'm telling you, she meant to do that. Anyway, I think the 666 tattoo on her skull was smoking a little. Like, she had gone for it. She had done the devil's deed. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was all or nothing. So I was just like, oh, Jesus, here we go. So I'm apologizing to this guy. And I realized, like, he's saying something to me. And he's like, oh, you know what? I think I'll move so I'm not such a temptation to her. And I was like, oh, shit. So I stood up. When he stood up, I stood up to apologize face to face. That's when my soul left my body. It took me a few seconds to comprehend what I was looking at. This nice gentleman who was thinning on top a little bit and just got bitch slapped by my child was wearing a white collar with his black suit. Yeah, we're going to let that shit sink in just for a minute. I'm going to let that sink in for a minute. Yep. He was a priest. My kid put her hands on a priest. Now, it looked as though he was reaching into an inside pocket. Another thought was that he had a flask of bourbon or one filled with holy water. I didn't fucking know at this point. Like, I started seeing little white lights fluttering in front of my eye. I got started getting chest pains. I mean, like, I was like, what is happening? So anyway, I looked at her dad. I looked at the priest. I looked at her dad. I looked at the priest, and I was like, we have to go now. I was like, let's go. Get your shit. Get up. We're leaving. He was so confused. Like, he didn't really realize what was going on. I threw money on the table, and we were out the fucking door. Like, I left my husband without a second thought to fend for himself in the event that the earth opened up to swallow his ass. Like, I told you to get up, and let's go. Okay. I mean, I'm not taking the rap for her. No fucking way. I'm not the one who slapped one of God's employees. That's an eye for an eye. She's going to have to answer that for that shit at the pearly gates. I mean, that's her business. She thought she was grown enough to slap a priest. I'm telling you now, it's safe to say she's been blacklisted. Like, she getting them burnt wings. I don't know what to tell you. But that is when it started. This is my origin story for Savannah. That's her origin story. That's when it all started going downhill. Lucy, give me one. Give me a good one. Please tell me you have some good ones that outbeat. Well, at least level up to Savannah.
Well, I mean, none of my children have assaulted holy figures.
The clergy?
but I do have some interesting stories about my children. One of my sons, he was 17 at the time, I think, 16, 17. He was working, so he would get home late at night. Sometimes, even after I went to sleep, he would just get a ride home. And he came home one night, and Wayne was out of town at the time. Kyle decided that he wanted a snack in the middle of the night. Well, he fell asleep while he was making his snack. I get up in the morning, and there is smoke in my house. Come out of the bedroom, there's smoke. Not too heavy at this point, because it had kind of dissipated by then. And this absolutely horrid smell that I can't even describe this smell. So, you know, the panic goes off in me, and I start running all around the house trying to figure out what's burning, what's on fire, all over the place. There's no fire. There's nothing burning anywhere. So then I go into the kitchen because I had, you know, checked to see if the stove was on or anything. Stove was not on, but there was a pan on the stove.
Oh, shit.
And then I started looking around, and all around on the counters, on the cupboards, on the floor, just everywhere, there were little tiny pieces of eggshell and burnt eggs everywhere. Like the eggs had exploded with force. So, as I'm, you know, putting the pieces of the puzzle together, I realized that Kyle had fallen asleep while he was boiling eggs, because he wanted hard-boiled eggs.
Oh, shit.
All of the water had evaporated. Some of the eggs were, like, crusted onto the bottom of the pan.
Mm-hmm.
The tops blown off all over the cupboards and everything.
Oh, and,
I mean,
shit.
This smelled, it didn't even smell like eggs. It was worse.
Yes.
Than that egg smell.
Yep.
So, as I put it all together and everything. So I go up and I wake up Kyle and said, Kyle, do you know the panic that went through my body when I walked out and saw the house with smoke and that smell and everything? This motherfucker, he looks at me half asleep and says, but Ma, do you know the panic I felt when I woke up and had no eggs? Because he apparently woke up afterwards, saw what had happened, turned the stove off, and then went to bed without
eggs. Hell no. That was his takeaway?
Yeah. Yeah. But Ma, do you know the panic when I had no eggs?
That shit's real. Like, that's a takeaway.
Let me take a moment to point out, despite what I may have felt at the moment, this child is still alive and breathing. And I will post pictures to the podcast page
of
bits of eggs everywhere, because they go along with the story nicely.
Jesus. Wow. Like, I remember it's Savannah did something like that, but with the in the microwave. What is their deal? Like, they like to see, they, stuff explodes, and like that burnt smell, like, it's like, I don't want to say like a burnt body, but like, it is the most horrific smell, and it's like, it seeps into your walls and you smell it forever, like forever. I had some little mini corn dogs, right? You know, wasn't my best mom dinner, but it is what it is. Anyway, and I had put them in the microwave for like a minute, right? And then I walked away and I was doing stuff and whatever. And about 10 minutes later, I smell this ungodly smell, smoke coming from the microwave. Savannah had gone behind me and put them in the microwave for like 8 or 9 minutes or something, like they look like charcoal when they were done. They pretty much exploded and then reformed themselves back together inside the microwave. It was so gross. Like, I don't understand. All right, Heather, you're up.
Do we want to know when I found out my child was Satan?
Yeah, let's start there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so my lovely 9-year-old is awesome. Totally awesome. Love her to pieces. She's my beautiful sunflower. She's got my attitude, God save the souls of all the world when she gets older. Because I realized that she was sent to me not from heaven above, but from Satan pretty early. We were in church. And I will say that I cuss a lot more than her dad. Several languages. So that's on me. I'll give that. That's the me thing. But we were in church. Eddie was decided not to be there that day. And you know that moment in a nice southern church where everyone takes that moment of silence to pray? Well, I guess I hadn't paid attention to Dixie in her little sundress. And I woke up seeing she was 3 at the time. She didn't like clothes. If she could have been naked baby, that's who she was. No panties, no sundress. Just her and her skin and Jesus. That's it. I should have had an indication.
I'm afraid where this is going.
I should have had an indicator that something was going to go bad when she started taking her shoes off in church. But normally, well, you know, while they're preaching, I don't mind. I slip her a couple of lifesavers. You know, give her a juice box. Let her, you know, play with the little pamphlets. We're good. It's fine.
Living her best life.
Anyway, she was taking her shoes off. Life was great. She had her... I think, yeah, I gave her lifesavers that day. And I didn't mind. Play with your little pamphlets, eat your lifesavers, have your juice box. We had that nice long moment of silence, and I should have known something was going to go wrong. All of a sudden, I hear we're all quiet. The pastor's preaching. He's praying over us as we're about to be dismissed. I can smell freedom. We almost made it through a church service. And then I see my kid streak past me, naked. And I'm not talking like naked down the pew, because I always sit on the end pew in case, God forbid, you know, something goes left. My kid streaks at me. She's running. And she's not running to the doors like, hey, we're going to go home. This kid was running toward the pastor in the center of the church. She's about... almost there. She's right there. She gets so close she can high-five the pastor. She trips. She says with perfect clarity and perfect context, well, shit, that hurt.
So let me get this straight. Wait. So let me get this straight. She's naked, running for the preacher like he stole something. And then she cussed out. Then she cussed in front of the pastor.
Oh, yeah. And here's the best part. You know how you recover from some shit like that?
Tell me.
All I can say, I hissed and I hissed loud enough where it was dead silent at that point. No one was pretending to pray. It was, yeah. No, that was gone. All I said was, Dixie, we don't say daddy words at church. It's on him. He didn't come to church that day. Dude, you know what it is. Those who do not attend will be the one that is blamed. In hindsight,
okay.
That was definitely a me thing. Shit, that's my word. I knew it was me. Who got blamed? He did.
Damn right he did.
Now, I will cut to the next Sunday where I made sure she was wearing bloomers and the button-ups. And everything that could keep clothes on. And I sat in the back.
Right. Now you see, what I see in this story is that you learned a valuable lesson. And you learned from it and you adjusted to it. That's, boy, if that's not being a mom, I don't know what the hell is.
Seriously. And I also learned, look, I'm passing the blame. the parent who's not there gets it.
I like that philosophy.
I mean, when she was little, we used to play rock, paper, scissors about who's changing the dirty diaper.
Right. I love it. Damn, that, and like, where's the pictures for that? We never get those kind of pictures.
I'm going to be honest. There were no pictures. I don't need any evidence. Trust me. When I have to explain why I told a lie, because I realized that my satanic child was doing a pagan dance down the runway at the church, I got to explain that one. But I'm interested. I can't wait to get on the other side and wait at the pearly gates when she gets there. And I want to hear how she's going to cover that one.
Oh, yeah. She's going to have some explaining to do. Look, her and Savannah Buff can walk in hand.
Look, I know she's a gift. No one told me where return of address was.
That's a hot mess. Okay, well, see, I'm feeling good about all this. It's not just my heathen. All right, Jackie, what you got?
Well, my child has never gotten undressed in front of a man of God. My child has undressed me in front of many men.
Hey, teamwork makes the dream work.
Right? When she was probably about four, she's eight now, my oldest. When she was about four, she was asking for a little brother or a sister. And it was nothing for her to, you know, we'd be at home and she'd come up and start talking to my belly and say, Mommy, is there a baby there yet? Or Daddy, when do we get a baby in the belly? We are in the grocery store one day and now all my food's already on the conveyor belt. You know, I'm just waiting in line, can't go anywhere, can't do nothing. And this child pulls down my shirt and exposes my boobs for everybody to see. And then decides to lift up my shirt and look at the gentleman standing in line behind me, and she says, can you tell my mommy to put a baby in her belly? Can you put one there for her, please? Now, I can't leave. I can't do nothing because my groceries are on the belt. We live in a big town, but I know most people in my grocery store. That is not the only man that she did that to me to. She did about 6 months where any man she would see, she would lift up my shirt, point to my tummy and say, can you put a baby in there for me?
Oh my God. She was, man, did that kid want a sister or a brother?
She didn't care who was the daddy.
She did not, girl, she was trying to hook you up. She did not give a damn who the daddy was.
Yep. I mean, God bless my husband. He's like, well, I guess we're going to have to ask who's the daddy someday, huh?
I'm thinking, just do it. And she'll stop embarrassing you and derobing you in public. Just do it.
Listen, her nagging might be the only reason she has a little sister right now.
Girl, I feel you on that.
So now that she has a little sister, is it everything she hoped it would be?
You know what? It really actually is. They are inseparable. They're at the point now where they're 3 and 8. So like today they were throwing Legos at each other's head to see who could make the biggest imprint. For most days, they're good.
Who won?
My 3-year-old is boss. She got a right hand man like a pitcher for the Yankees.
Nice. So, okay, well, so I thought, you know, God wouldn't do it to me twice. Like, that's not fair. That's not a thing. You know, and in our contemplating, you know, having a second child, I was like, well, he taught me a lesson with Savannah. There's no way he would do that to me again. I was wrong on so many levels. So it didn't start quite as early as Savannah, but well, she did try to kill him a few times and stuff like that, you know. But he just kind of got into his own, came into his own. Like, okay, so this was a couple of years ago, and we were fixing to have dinner. Or no, we just had dinner, and I was cleaning, getting something out of the cabinets, and I had this little white basket with just random medicine stuff in it, you know, whatever. But anyway, there was a box with little disposable eye drops, like the little tubes you put, and you just put it in your eye or whatever. Like if you got something in your eye, it washes it out. And so, and they had like a little bubble in them, and to a kid, I'm sure they look cool. And she was like, oh my God, what is that? And I was like, it's stuff for your eye, you know? And I was like, don't mess with it. You know, don't drink it or anything. I was like, it's for, if you know, you get something in your eye and we can't get it out. I was like, it's medicine. She was like, okay. So I put it back and I'm in my room, you know, folding clothes, doing whatever. And I can hear her from the kitchen. It's going to be okay. Yes, drink it. Drink it. It's okay. It's okay. And he was like, no, mom said, drink it. Drink it. So I'm like, what the fuck? So I come back around in the kitchen and I'm like, what is going on? And she's like, he did it. He drank it. He drank it. And I was like, Savannah, I could hear you. I was like, I just told you not to drink it. It's for your eyes. Like, it, you don't even know what it is, right? So I was so pissed at her. I was so mad. And so I knew that it wasn't going to kill him or anything. But so I called my sister-in-law, and she's a nurse. And I was like, this is what your niece did. And she was like, it's not going to hurt him, but he's going to have wicked diarrhea. She was like, but, like, it's not going to hurt him. And I was like, okay. So I go back to the kitchen. I reach up. I grab another one, I twist the top off, and I walk right up to Savannah. And I said, here you go. And she was like, what? And I looked at her, I was like, oh, by the way, Aunt Claudia said you were going to die because you listened to your sister. Anyway, and so I looked at Savannah, I said, drink it. And she was like, no, 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 no. Oh, no, you're drinking it. Drink it. She threw it back. And I was like, what the hell, Savannah? Trying to kill your brother? What are you going out to? And I mean, they both shit like pet coons that night, but they never mess with those eye drops again. Like, she talks him into so much shit. Like, he cannot tell her no. Like, he loves her so much, and he just wants to do whatever it is she's doing. And he blindly trusts her. That's where he fucks up. He trusts her, and I'm like, she's going to hurt you. Like, it's going to be bad. He don't believe me. To this day, he don't believe me. I don't know. I don't know, guys. It's nonstop. It's nonstop. Just when I think, okay, we passed this phase. You know what I mean? Like, there's got to be a phase. Then I hear Lucy's story, and the phase never ends. Because how old was Kyle? What'd she say? He was a teenager, right?
He was 17.
Yeah. So apparently I still have a ways to go. Well, that's depressing.
Yeah.
Oh, no. The devil is a lie and the truth ain't in it. No, ma'am.
I have a 20-year-old. It never stops.
Son of a bitch. Well, I guess I'll just keep drinking.
Yep.
Like, I don't even, like, what do you even do with that? It never stops. Like, one time we were at the house, and I was in bed, everybody was asleep, and I hear, wha-bam! Guys, I thought somebody kicked in the front door, was coming in to kill us in our sleep. I jump out of bed, I grab my Glock, and I'm like, I am like Starsky and Hutch, and I'm guns out blazing. Like, I'm about to shoot somebody. Somebody's standing at my door. I'm about to put a hole through them. Look around. All the doors are locked. Windows are locked. Like, no one is in my house. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? Then I hear the toilet flush. Door opens. Here comes Sawyer. I'm holding my gun. I'm like, what are you doing? What? I went to the bathroom. I said, did you feel a need to slam the door so hard that it shook the house and almost came off the hinges? I was sound asleep. You scared the shit out of me. He was like, sorry, Mom. I had to pee. I mean, my adrenaline's pumped. I mean, I could run a freaking marathon. Blood pressure was up. Like, I was not going to sleep, right? So I'm like, take your ass to bed. So I go in my room and I'm like pacing and like trying to calm down and get it together. And I hear a knock on the door. And I'm like, what? And he opens the door and he's like, so you want to snuggle? I said, hell no, I don't want to snuggle. You just took 5 years off my life, you little shit. Go to bed. Yeah, we snuggled. But I put up a good fight. Like, I said no, and I made him wait like 10 minutes, and then we snuggled. But I'm just saying, like, he almost gave me a fucking stroke. This is what they do. This is the kind of shit I'm talking about. That's why I drink, and like I'm on anxiety medication and shit.
Was it as bad as that time I thought that I was going to die because we were talking about scary movies?
Yeah, that was when we almost witnessed a murder. That was hilarious. And it wasn't even your kid. It was the damn dog.
Well, the dog because of the kid. Look.
Oh, that's true.
I'm going to be honest. If I die, I'm going out fighting.
Girl. I'm telling you, he almost got lit up. I mean, I wouldn't want to explain that, but I'm just saying, gun in hand, somebody was getting shot.
I'm just saying, I was armed. I was armed and ready. Let's go.
That was hilarious.
Better. I'm almost 40 years old, and I mean, it was maybe a year and a half ago that I took a Jeep airborne in Denver accidentally. maybe 3 years ago. What? Joe and I were throwing my tomahawk at a tree outside a bar. It doesn't get better.
No.
Jesus, fix it. I can't with y'all. What? Why?
We need to hear another one of their stories. I think I
absolutely.
I want to hear. They have some stories. They still.
Oh, you know they do. Wayne is just like he's holding out. He's not telling it all.
All right, I'll do two quick short ones where it wasn't so much the kids misbehaving or doing necessarily anything wrong. It's just, it's a thing that happened. So first one, our oldest son, he was, what, maybe like 9 or 10, and he had a stomach flu. I had taken him to the doctors, and we got a prescription. So there I am at Rite Aid with him, standing at the pharmacy to get his medicine, and I had already talked to the pharmacist. They're getting everything. I'm just waiting for him to come back with his medicine, and he looks at me and he says, I don't feel good. I'm like, I know, buddy, that's why we're getting you medicine. Next thing I know, I saw his mouth close and his throat jump, and then his cheeks bulge, and he just projectile vomited all over the floor, the counter, the credit card machine, all right at the pharmacy pickup window. And I'm just, and at that moment, the pharmacist comes back with his medicine. I looked that poor man dead in his eyes, took the bag, said, have a nice day, and we left.
Wayne, you get Dad of the Year award. Whatever year that was, you get that award.
That's right. There's nothing else you could have said. Nothing. You did the right thing. Thank you very much. Have a nice day. Like, nothing you could have said or offered would have made up for that situation. I'm with you. I'd have been like, yeah, okay, boom, let's bounce. We're out of here. Yep. Yeah, there was no other response. Gotta go. That is like a scene from a damn movie. You're just looking at all the vomit. Gotta go. Bye.
Yep. Exactly.
I could
see that moment in this poor gentleman's eyes when the carnage clicked in his brain as I'm just taking the bag from him. But like, thank you. No.
And, you know, his thought was like, who is going to clean this shit up? I know it's not me. Aw. And who, which one threw up?
JT.
Where's the new hire?
Right. Oh, shit. Who's the newest one in? This is in your job description. Aw, poor JT. That sucks.
The second story.
Okay, and then the second short story, some years later, our youngest daughter, we were picking the kids up from Lucy's mom's house. So we had the truck parked out in front. Now, you got to understand that her mom's house sits up kind of on a hill from the road. Mm-hmm. So there's maybe a 30-degree incline of 7-8 feet. So it's kind of short and steep where her yard mm-hmm. levels off down to the road. So we had all the kids in the truck. We're just waiting on Zia. She had to go back and get something. I forget what it was at the time. But we're all loaded in the truck. I'm in the driver's seat. Lucy's in the passenger seat. The rest of the kids are in back. Zia comes trotting out of the house, running.
No.
The house. And then at some point, her little legs started going
in
her body. Coming down this hill. Legs went straight out underneath her. All of a sudden, I could see her head through the truck windows, and all of a sudden her head just disappeared, and you hear just a whack. Her legs went slid right under the truck, bashed on the side of the door.
Oh my God!
This one, Lucy, is sitting in the passenger seat doing exactly this right now. Everybody else is just stunned. And then you hear a squeaky little
oh my God.
Had disappeared.
Oh my God. I can't. Like, I cannot. Lucy is crying. She's poor Zia. Oh my God. That's horrible.
Now she's laughing now, but
no, she
were you laughing then?
She was laughing.
Yes.
Hysterically then.
He just said she was laughing like just like this.
He could not get out of the truck to check on her daughter because she was laughing so hard.
Oh my goodness.
She said, I'm not even, she's not even trying to deny it. She was like, nope, couldn't do it. Oh my God.
Don't you absolutely love this much? You're like, that didn't happen.
You all want to hear about the time Kyle ran over her with a mini bike?
Yes!
Yes.
You mentioned something about that the other day, and we didn't get to it.
I need this in my life.
Yes.
All right. So, we went to visit Lucy's brother down in Binghamton. It's about a 90-minute drive from where we lived. You know, took all the kids, little day trip down there. We're inside visiting, and her brother, Shawnee, had been outside for a little while. Now we were talking to her brother's wife. Boys were outside. Her brother had been outside. I went outside to check on him, see what's going on, and I found her brother. You know, he had taken out his little mini bike to show the boys, and her brother was doing laps around the block. And then, you know, kids, of course, they wanted to try it. It's not a motorcycle. It's like this little 2 feet tall, 3 feet long, just a little mini bike. All right.
With a motor.
Sure. I'll let the kids ride it. JT does his laps around. And then as Kyle's doing his lap around, of course, that's when Lucy comes out to see what's going on. And she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, it's fine. It's fine. Just calm down. Look, they're having a blast. And Kyle comes back then, and I look at him, I'm like, look, see, you made it back just fine. There's no problem. You're worrying about nothing. Just fucking calm down. Let them have a little bit of fun, okay? So Kyle stops the bike. It's all fine. She's finally starting to calm down and realize, okay, this might be not be terrible.
Right.
Made it around the block just fine.
Nobody's dead. Stopped.
Nobody died.
Everybody right.
All their limbs intact. And so she's talking to Kyle, and he was still sitting on the bike. He went to get off it now, and as he was getting off it, he twisted and his hand goosed the gas.
Oh, shit.
The bike shot out from underneath him, went straight up the front of Lucy because she was standing in front of it.
What?
Going off the side. She managed to reach out, snatch Kyle off the bike before he got dragged away with it.
Oh my God.
Bike went, took off, hit the front of her brother's Jeep. She's like down on the count, on the ground, out for the count for the moment.
Oh my God.
You know, and then she was recording it when he came around the block. And then when she got up, she was looking for her phone. And we finally found that on top of our truck. It had just gone. Oh my God. She had a giant gash in her forearm where the
bike. Oh my God. My Jesus, Kyle, Lucy.
And Kyle, not a scratch.
That's because she snatched his ass off that bike before he could get any damage. That is some superhero shit.
Question.
How the hell Kyle and I are both still alive to this day? I couldn't tell you.
I was just fixing to say, I mean, that shit usually ends in tragedy.
The bike drove up the front of her.
Yeah, and then we drove the 90 minutes home, got the kids settled at the house, and then took me to the emergency room for stitches.
God. And then I got myself locked out of the urgent care. Yeah. We walked in just before closing, and then I stepped outside, and when I turned around and went back, they had locked the door behind me.
Good Lord, Lucy! How many scars do you have?
I lost count. My children will be the death of me.
I'm saying, good Lord. Now, how long ago was that?
It was
3 years ago.
It was rape.
Three.
Texas.
Yep.
Oh, my question. God. Does this child currently have a license?
No. No, he does not.
Those of us on the room, thank you.
Answer question.
I have not braved that front with him yet.
How old is he now?
He's 18.
Oh.
Okay.
And so, okay. I'm not even sure we're safe on the road.
Okay, we're good.
So Texas is safe on the streets for right now.
I don't know, because, I mean, well, JT is a pretty good driver, but Randy is technically going to be able to start the whole license process in, like, less than a month.
Okay.
And of course there's still the fact that my husband drives around, so there's always that risk.
I love you, honey.
Yeah.
Oh my God. All right, Jackie, you're up.
Listen, my kids are too little to kill me yet. kind of.
I just want anybody, does anybody else notice how she's always like opposite, like her kids are opposite, like we get it, Jackie.
Listen, they've only been on the earth a short time. They haven't racked up their kills yet.
Savannah started at 18 months. 18 months. Your kids are late bloomers.
Well, to be fair, Kenzie tried to kill me in utero and in labor, so she came out.
That does not count. That
trying to kill me. No, my kids. My youngest likes to try to kill her big sister by shock value.
Okay.
So it finally just got warm enough up here where we can like utilize the backyard. And so we've started cutting back some grass and the weeds, you know, making room. And they're playing ball last weekend. And I guess my older one threw the ball too far. My three-year-old comes running back and she comes over to my husband. And I'm like, well, where's the ball? Ball's bright pink. Thing in her hand is not pink. It is brown. I found it. I found it in the backyard. It's a dead mouse. My 8-year-old starts having a panic attack because she can't stand any dead thing, any animal. The 3-year-old sees this and starts chasing the 8-year-old around the yard with it.
Nice.
I pet my dead mouse. Pet my dead mouse. My 8-year-old is crying her eyes out in fear, and I am bent over trying not to let her see the tears of just absolute happiness running down my face.
It's the little things in life that we have to stop and appreciate.
Yes, it was because my 8-year-old has been such a terror to me her whole life that it is so nice to see her getting her just desserts in the form of
a three-year-old. Oh, that's karma, baby. Yep, that's karma.
And of course, that she gets done to my 3-year-old. My 3-year-old looks at my husband and goes, "Well, Daddy, where do I put him?" And my 8-year-old runs screaming. She's like, "Not in the house."
Oh my God, that is awesome. Oh my God. All right, Heather, you're up. I know you got more.
Oh, so you want to hear why I'm never, ever teaching my kid how to drive?
Okay, that's a lie, but yeah, let's have it.
Yeah, right?
No, I swear to Jesus, it's not a lie. She could Uber.
Her daddy's going to teach her.
I hope so, because it surely won't be me.
I feel that so hard, though. Can you imagine me and Savannah in a car together trying to teach her that? No. I'd drive us off the bridge.
I'm having a hard enough time trying to teach them how to ride a bike right now.
Right.
Well, this involved a go-kart. Because I found one on sale, because we all know I love shopping.
We do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I found one, and it's one that fits an adult and kids. And you can adjust it. And I'm like, okay. My lovely husband gets in it. He looks like Super Wario. Head sticking up, squished up, hand to Jesus. Looks like Super Wario. I love him so much, but 6'2" don't belong in a little tinky winky golf cart. That's just not how it works. Well, Dixie's like, yeah, I get to drive a real car. Okay. Sure, let's go. Let the husband show her how, you know, how everything works. Watch Daddy. Okay, now you got to do it just like Daddy. It will be noted that the motorcycle and the car were parked 100 feet out of her way.
They were only 100 feet, huh?
Well, I thought that would be sufficient.
Well, it should have been.
In retrospect, I forgot I have a spawn of Satan. So
you know, she starts that. That's her go-to when she's talking about Dixie, kind of like me with Savannah.
Like, I love her, I truly do. But there's some things like driving. Well, the only thing that saved the motorcycle from being destroyed and completely, like, messing up the kickstand and the gas pedal and all that wonderful stuff is the fact that you grab the motorcycle, I grab the kid. I literally picked up the back end of the go-kart because they're saying, Dixie, hit the brake. I am. And her little foot's just mashing down on the gas. And I'm just talking, she's Fred Flintstoning it. Pick. You can hear her little pedal. Just clicking. Stop hitting the gas, hit the other one. I am. No, you're not.
Oh, she was confused.
I pick up the back wheels of the go-kart, and it stops pulling off the vehicles because it somehow managed to wedge itself with her in it underneath the back of the car with the motorcycle pinioned to the other side of it.
Holy shit.
She's not hurt. Go-kart's not hurt. The motorcycle's got a scratch. The car, nothing's wrong with the car. It was just wedged. It was just had a go-kart wedged at the ass of it. Dixie gets out, she says, and I quote, "I'm not a good driver, Mama. I think I need to wait for my license."
And you're like, you ain't never driving. Right.
I said, I think your daddy's going to be teaching you, and you're going to have your own insurance policy. Because it won't be mine.
That is between you and your daddy.
She said, and I quote, "Daddy said it'll be fine. I've got a couple years." So I want everyone in the surrounding states to know, you got 6 years. Prepare yourself.
Only six, huh? Start now, people. Start now, Georgia.
So as somebody who has had a child get through the process of learning to drive, JT, the day that he turned 16, it took him to the DMV. He did his test and everything, gets his learner's permit. So we go back to the house and I get out of the driver's seat and I said, okay, come on, let's do this. Like, I was looking forward to this. I was all gung-ho. He gets in the driver's seat. I get in the passenger seat. And now we're only going around a block. Literally. That's all that we're doing. And so at first, well, no, the first thing out of his mouth is a line from SpongeBob. He says, floor it? No. No. But he does okay on the first couple of turns. And then we're going to make the last turn to go back to the house. And he forgot to slow down first. So he whipped right around that corner, gave me a goddamn heart attack. And he said, don't worry, Ma. I play GTA. I got this.
Oh, shit.
I did not get in a car with him again until, what, 5-6 months ago?
Yeah. Over three years.
Yeah.
It took a while to get back in the car with him.
I would not teach him to drive. Wayne had to do all of that. I could not get back in a car with him.
Well, I mean, in your defense, he tried to, right. I was going to say, in your defense, he tried to take you out as soon as y'all got home.
Yep.
Also, I'm with you.
In your defense, you have a high self-preservation level, so I don't blame you. I'm right there with you.
Right.
It ain't happening.
Nah.
Although, the way her daddy drives. Mm-mm. Sorry.
Nah. Mm-mm.
He's stealing my microphone again.
Stacy, you want another example of how you know things will never get better for you as long as your children are still alive?
Yes.
So this is another one about me that involves JT and Miranda. So JT had to be around 10 years old and he had a loose tooth going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I had convinced him that it would be fun to tie a piece of dental floss around his tooth, tie the other end to a door, and just slam the door and get it out of there.
Right.
It was all set and ready to go.
Right.
But he had been a little shit that day, and he had done nothing but harass his little sister. So we get that dental floss on his tooth, nice and tight. And then before he could do anything, I handed the other end of the string to Miranda, and I said, run.
Did it come out?
Oh, it did. Yep.
Oh, I know it did. Oh, my God. That is beautiful. I can't wait for Story to get another loose tooth. That is brilliant.
My oldest lost, like, 6 teeth in kindergarten.
Damn.
So she just started. Yeah, she got them really young. And the younger they get them, the younger they'll fall out. Mm-hmm. She has started pulling out teeth that aren't even loose. She's just like, wiggle, wiggle, got it. And like, if her friends come around with a loose tooth, Olivia's the first one to be like, I'll pull it out of your mouth for you. I'm like, kid, it took 8 months for one of her teeth to grow in because it wasn't even loose. She just decided she needed a buck from the tooth fairy and just ripped that sucker out of her mouth, popped it in her pillow. Wasn't even... She was like, why did it bleed for 3 days? Because it wasn't loose. Shit.
Wait. Time out. Okay, wait. Jackie, the positive here is that it could have been worse. At least she wasn't saving the teeth in a mason jar under her bed.
Very true. Very true.
I mean, let's sprinkle some happy glitter on that for a minute, you know.
So my question, and now that I'm thinking about it, Has she pulled any actual permanent teeth out?
She hasn't yet, thank God.
Thank God.
But that one that was missing for about 8 months, I've got two, because our school pictures, you get to take them in the spring or the fall. So she took them spring, fall. I've got two class pictures where she's got this big gap in her mouth because she pulled it out too early, and the new one wasn't even in there ready to come. I'm like, great. I got 2 years where it looks like you got punched in the face.
Oh, my God. You just need to give her money so she don't depend on the damn tooth fairy.
Listen, and the first tooth she lost, she comes to me and she's like, well, Robbie's tooth fairy gave him $20 for his first tooth. That's great. Robbie's mom is an OBGYN. Your mom's not. I'm like, your mom works for a nonprofit. So our tooth fairy rates are a little different than Robbie's.
That's right. We got to stick with our rates.
Yeah. The tooth fairy is a scam artist, except at our house, because the tooth fairy writes notes. And the notes normally have a deal with, I've seen you be bad, I'll check back in 3 days. And it all happened, the reason she knows it's from the tooth fairy is it's all on special stationery.
Oh my goodness.
Note the special stationery, it's just wedding invites that I got on sale, and there's like 200 of them.
Oh my God.
Well, I mean, I tell you what, anybody listening to this, either they can sympathize with us and understand where we're coming from, or they really need to hug their children and embrace them if they do not have the same stories, remotely the same stories that we have. Like, this is ridiculous. I will close with this. One day I was in the kitchen cooking, and I hear Savannah and Sawyer running in, and they run in the bathroom, and they shut the door. They just came from outside. And I'm like, well, this shit can't be good. So I go, and I listen at the door, and I hear her, Savannah, say, touch it. Sawyer says, no, you touch it. Savannah says, no, don't be a chicken. You touch it. And Sawyer's like, I'm not touching it. You touch it. And I was like, oh, Jesus, here we go. So I open the door. And sitting in the sink is a dead bunny. And I was like, why did you bring this into my house? And they're like, our dog Daisy at the time, they were like, yeah, Daisy killed the whole family. She ate all the bunnies. This was the only one that's left. He's still alive. I was like, he's not alive. Yaha, his eyes are open. I was like, and then I thought, wait, do bunnies blink? I was like, I don't think he's alive. Bunnies don't blink. He's dead. Take him out of my house now. Bunnies don't blink.
I want that on a t-shirt.
Oh, my God. I can't. I swear to God. I don't know how I've made it this far. I'm telling you. And, yeah. So... I didn't know what else to tell him, though. Like, his eyes were open. He was. And I was just like, I had to really think about that. Wait, why are his eyes open? And then I was like, yeah, they don't blink. Anyway, it's been like that in my house since Savannah was 18 months old. It has not slowed down. It has not stopped. I don't foresee it stopping. But I want to thank all the hosts. Wayne, thank you for hanging out with us. And telling us your stories, how especially boys are never gonna grow up, and
never ever,
always, and never ever. So that's fucking fantastic. But I, you know, Savannah should have been a boy. She's a tomboy, so technically I have two. So that's great. My hair will start falling out soon, I'm sure, and I'll just become an alcoholic and beg for money on the side of the road. Anyway. Well, I enjoyed this. This was fun. I love telling stories as a warning to others who think, you know, have children, they said. It'll be fun, they said.
They lie.
No. They lie. They sit on a throne of lies. Yeah, more than one. I'd like to find that bitch and slap the hell out of her. Okay, well, guys, thank you all for listening. We hope you enjoyed the episode about our crazy kids and the hell that they've put us through. And at least two of them are going to be at the pearly gates trying to get in. I'm sure Savannah and Dixie together can bribe somebody. We'll see.
She'll just slap St. Peter upside the head and walk on through.
You know what? And if that's how she gets in, that's all. Hey, I'm not mad at her. Do you, Savannah? Do you get them white wings, sister? All right, we're going to wrap this episode up. Thank you for listening. We hope you had fun. And we will see you next time. Bye.